From Edge Radio 99.3 FM, this is an edit of The Dice Men Cometh, the podcast.
The Dice Men Cometh!
This is the tabletop gaming radio show for old schoolers, new schoolers, those who never went to school, those who can't remember what school they went to, but mostly it's for anyone who got picked on during their lunch break and had to hide in the library playing Dungeons and Dragons. Like I did. Gentlemen, are you with me?
Yes.
Yep.
All right. My name's Trent.
I'm Mark.
This is Garth.
And what is happening this evening? Oh, firstly, Mark, welcome back.
Thank you, Trent.
Yes.
Good to be back.
Excellent. Yeah. How was Melbourne?
I was there. No, it was really good. I had a great time, actually. Love the free trams. Got to give a big
shake up
to the big free trams as of the 1st of January. All the trams in the CBD within that sort of CBD area around which the free tram used to drive, every tram inside that is now free.
Wonderful.
Yeah, so you don't need your Mikey card if you're going there as a tourist.
I feel compelled to share something this evening, and that is that look, we've all come in here, we've all sort of gathered to present the show tonight. And clearly Mark's not happy. You've come in a very, very grim mood, and I feel like we kind of have to... Like, you're doing a good job of pretending to be cheerful, but...
Am I?
Are you all right, mate?
I decided I was going to log my games for this year.
Right.
I've logged one.
That's what it is.
One game for the year so far.
Game deprivation. Yeah. All right, well, we'll see if we can't do something about that tonight. What's coming up on the show?
So tonight, apart from talking about my shopping trip to Melbourne, we are going to have an interview with Terry from CanCon, which is obviously that fantastic convention coming up later on in the month. We're also going to talk about Legendary, the deck-building game. You guys have been playing it because, of course, I haven't played anything. Mm-hmm. And also going to have a Kickstarter update. All that and more coming up.
And speaking of old school, Jimi Hendrix. Spanish Castle Magic, boys and girls. The first time that the words heavy and metal were ever stuck together by a DJ, it was in reference to that gentleman right there, Jimi Hendrix, on Edge Radio, 99.3 FM. This is The Dice Men Cometh with Trent Garth and a very crabby Mark. And I don't feel that we've gotten to the bottom of this yet, because you've come back from a trip to Melbourne to see the Socceroos and the Asia Cup, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
We're kicking ass in. You went with your boy. You met Viv Richards.
I did meet Viv Richards.
How did that come
about?
Look,
it was an interesting trip. And I guess to start at the start, we were at the airport, funnily enough, in Hobart. Saw all the Hurricanes players there, because I'm a bit of a cricket fan. And I thought, oh, will I go and say hello to them? No, they're looking a bit tired and busy and everything like that. And then I saw Viv Richards, Sir Viv Richards. And I just couldn't miss the opportunity. He happened to be talking to a couple of the Hurricanes boys. So I went up there, got a photo of Viv and Ben Dunk and Tim Breslin, who's also a English test player that plays for the Hurricanes. And it was quite funny, because I said to Viv, oh, look, I'm really sorry for interrupting. Do you mind if I get a photo? And he just looked at me and he said, you're too big to argue with, man.
So Viv's scared of you.
Yeah. Ooh. So Viv was intimidated by me.
Man, talk about touched by the hand of God. Viv Richards, and you've come back cranky that you haven't been playing board games. You need to check your priorities, man.
Well, I had a couple of days in Melbourne, and then because we were there on the night before the soccer, my son, who's almost 17, he loves stand-up comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a pub stand-up comedy night that I saw that was hosted by Cal Wilson.
Oh, yeah.
Young woman from New Zealand, tiny little woman.
Mm-hmm. She's
and I
awesome.
Thought well, yeah. that and she's very funny. So I thought we'd go and check that out, and I asked a few people, "Oh, what's the comedy like at the the Portland Hotel?" And they said, "Yeah, it's okay." Yeah. So we went, we had a meal there. We went to the comedy, and the first thing was, it was the day in Melbourne that was really, really hot last week.
Yeah.
It was a tiny, tiny room. There was about 250 people crammed in, a standing room only, and it was absolutely amazing. So Dave O'Neill was there, Limo was there, Will Anderson apparently just strolled in off the street, and the next thing he's up on stage talking. So we got a photo with Will Anderson, because my son's also called Will, and we were having a chat to him. We just happened to be standing in the corner of the pub away from the bar, where all the comedians also happened to be standing. Dave O'Neill did a whole thing on Steiner and school.
Oh,
and,
God. Okay.
And, of course, it was twice as hilarious to me, because I knew about all the references, and most people were just sort of scratching their head going, ha ha, that's funny.
Because we should explain that Mark is Amish. Please continue.
My kids go to a Steiner school, that's right. So that was very funny. So we had a huge comedy night, sat the soccer on Friday night where Australia won, saw the opening ceremony, saw a great game, and then did some shopping.
Okay.
And I haven't been game shopping for a while.
Oh, okay. I was wondering if board games are going to come back.
Yeah, so I hadn't been shopping for a while, and I thought I would check out some stores in Melbourne. And I know from previous visits, I knew about Mind Games.
Sure.
I knew about Good Games, and I knew about The Game Shop. And I just sort of put out in Melbourne. No, I didn't put out in Melbourne.
You wish.
He tried.
I put out that I was out shopping in Melbourne, and one of the friends of the show, Richard, said to me, "Oh, you want to make sure you check out the big four in the CBD," which I only knew of three. So the fourth one, I'll come to in a minute. So I went to Good Games. I've been there many times. It's in the Royal Arcade.
Is that the one? Oh, no, that's the game store. Good Games. The
I'm talking. Yeah, the game shop. It's called. Yeah, right. Sorry, in the Royal Arcade. And that was actually one of the very first game stores I went to when I first got in this hobby many, many years ago.
Been there a long time.
And thinking, I used to think, oh, this is a fantastic little, you know, game store. So I went in there, and what the thing that I was struck by was there was about one bank of shelves out of about 15 in that store that I was actually interested in. And sort of got me thinking about how niche our part of the hobby, if you like, because it was full of jigsaws, puzzles, Monopoly, all those sort of mass market games. And really one bank of shelves had the strategy games, Euro games, even the Ameritrash games. So it was a really small part of that store.
I had to scratch my head about that because, of course, we hear about the game hobby, you know, growing exponentially, and yet that store seems to be shrinking its interests in it.
Yeah, well,
while there are other shops popping up around the CBD in Melbourne.
I certainly felt like there was less in there than there had been previously. I probably hadn't been there for a couple of years. So then I went to good old Mind Games, which is always excellent. And
if a little overpriced, let's be frank.
Yeah, well, yeah, okay. I guess I haven't been game shopping for a while, so I hadn't noticed.
That store in Melbourne, I mean, that's right on Swanson Street. They've got overheads to cover.
Oh, look, absolutely. Know, to be fair. Absolutely. Yeah. Although I will say I did purchase the same game twice in two stores.
What?
Because you basically...
Was this another Pathfinder?
No.
Did you find time to pretend to be a wizard in your hotel room?
No. What's the name of it? Star Realms, a deck building game that's put together by a couple of professional magic players. So it has a bit of a magic feel. And the when you buy a set, that's enough cards for two players. But if you want to play it with three or four players, you need to buy a second set.
Right.
So I had first seen it in the Games Laboratory, which is the shop I haven't talked about yet, for $35. I then saw it in Mind Games for $30.
Oh,
there you go.
I stand corrected.
So there you go.
Yeah.
Although the Pathfinder Adventure role-playing game Playmat that I have had my eye on for a long time and haven't been able to find, they did happen to have that for only $45. So, you know, I don't think I've quite spent enough money on that game. So I picked that up. And I also picked up Patch History, which is one I'd heard a lot about, hadn't seen anywhere else.
Yeah, so this is a Korean game, and obviously it's an English
edition. Yeah, civilization building game. From the look of it, really looks like probably like the Euro version of what Civilization, the board game, is. The American version.
But it's got this interesting mechanic where you're playing cards on top of each other.
Yeah, tiles. Tiles, yeah.
And you're depending on what they cover up, it might activate or deactivate that particular power on the card. Yeah, look.
I'm really looking forward to getting it to the table. Mm. So Mind Games, there's two levels. There's a big front area, back area with a lot of role-playing stuff. And again, in the front area, probably half of that, around half of that was sort of the hobby games. The back area is more your sort of Ameritrash games and also role-playing. And then there's an upstairs area for a lot of magic and things like that. So it's quite a big store, a lot of real estate. They were very friendly in there.
Mm.
They hadn't heard of us. But, you know, I don't blame them. And again, it was interesting to me. I sort of thought if I was a professional game seller, I would be researching the hobby. I'd be spending my time on Board Game Geek. Now, I'm not saying they don't, But I would know about board game podcasts. Mm. Now, the people in there that I spoke to, they didn't actually listen to any podcasts, not even like the Dice Tower or anything like that. So wow. I found that really intriguing. So, of course, I talked about what we did and everything like that. So I'd give them a plug on the show. So here they are, the Mind Games in Melbourne. They did a really great job looking after me. And then Good Games, would you believe it or not, I couldn't find it.
Wow.
Even with Google.
Yeah, yeah.
I turned up there and it didn't exist.
I want to say Lonsdale Street.
Well, that's what it said on the map.
Yeah, you've got to go through, you've got to either go up the fire escape or through the Korean travel agency out the front of
right.
it.
That's why I couldn't find it. Yeah. I was with my son. I'm just like, where? No. So I've moved on.
That's one of those, it's like a bar in Melbourne, you know, that you only find through word of mouth, yeah. Down some alley. And
or some breakfast place.
Up a fire escape. Yeah. Exactly.
So I went straight past it. Did not stop. Did not pass go.
It's very good.
Yeah, no, I'm sure it is. And, you know, and obviously Good Games, everywhere you go, Good Games do a really great job. You know,
they
the
do.
One here in Hobart is great. I've been to the one in Launceston as well. I've been to it in Sydney. They do a really good job. The fourth one, which I hadn't heard of before, Games Laboratory.
Okay.
And
is this
according to their flyer, it's Melbourne's premier game store.
Is this the place that I've heard about that has a bar?
Correct.
Oh, my God!
So it's three levels. You've got your sort of main level where you go upstairs, and that's the main area of retail. They've got a big magic area there. They've got. I went in twice in 2 days, and they had people playing strategy games every time I went in, like four or five tables. They have the bar downstairs that's open in the evenings. They have another big area upstairs that's open for hire. It's huge. They didn't have a massive retail section in terms of stock, but they had a pretty good representation and prices looked quite reasonable. They were really friendly. Again, they hadn't heard of us. But, you know, I said I'd give a shout out to them. They did a really great job. Very friendly, very helpful. And they said if we give them a shout out, they'll post us on their Facebook page. So that's really good. So shout out to the Games Laboratory. They really looked after me, and I would love to go there and go to the bar.
Yeah, it sounds great.
Because that just really intrigues me. So they were good. Look, here's a little flyer for the non-radio people that they put together, which interestingly has the game shop on the other side, which is very interesting. But they did a good job. So I'll definitely be going back there. I'll definitely be going back to Mind Games, and I'll definitely be going to try and find where Good Games is.
I should also give a very, very quick shout-out to, because I was in Canberra a couple of weeks ago, to the Games Capital in Garema Place.
Oh, yes, yes.
Popped in there, fantastic range, quite reasonable prices, friendly staff. They hadn't heard of us either.
There's a theme here.
And you know, actually, so very, very quickly, because I bought Mythotopia.
Oh,
Martin,
yes.
Martin Wallace.
Yes.
And I just sort of said, we met Martin Wallace. I was lucky enough to meet him. He was very nice. Oh, yeah, how'd you meet him? Oh, he was at PAX at a panel that we were hosting. Mumble, mumble, mumble. And then it's like, oh, well, maybe you can call him and tell him what you think of the game. And I'm like, you're just taking the piss now, aren't you? I'll just leave. But no, very nice. Mark, welcome back.
Yeah, thank you.
Maybe we can get a game in sometime.
Yeah, sometime in the future,
kinda
I'm sure.
Busy this weekend.
Yeah.
Are you getting any time free, Garth?
No, I don't think so. Sorry.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe February.
If I'm lucky.
Oh, well, there's always sitting at home pretending to be a wizard. Ainsley Wills, Fighting Kind. You're on The Dice Men Cometh. This is Edge Radio, 99.3 FM. Edge Radio 99.3 FM. The Dice Men Cometh, talking tabletop gaming and what we've been playing lately.
Mm-hmm.
All sorts of things, but numero uno tonight.
Yeah, well, let's start with what we played last night, which is Legendary Encounters, the alien deck building game.
From Upper Deck Entertainment. What have Upper Deck made before, Mark?
So they've got the Legendary series, which there's also the Marvel version.
Yep.
I have heard talk there's going to be a DC version.
Mm.
But primarily, they do sports cards, collectible
cards.
Baseball, NFL, those sort of things in America.
Yeah, so they're no strangers to, you know, squeezing money out of the kids for bits of cardboard. And this is their latest. Legendary Encounters, the alien deck-building game, is the full awkward title. It's a big, dumb deck builder, I think, is the best description. And it plays through all four, well, the first four of the Alien films. Mm-hmm. There's apparently going to be a Predator expansion to this, and we've got no idea when that's coming out yet, but I've got a fair idea how that might work. We'll get back to that. So it starts with the players choosing, to make it even more confusing, a card called an avatar.
Right.
Which...
your crossover.
Yeah, grants you a bit of a special ability, and then you get your standard, bog-standard deck of grunts who enable you to fight the aliens, and your specialists who enable you to recruit other cards from the headquarters, which is made up of a group of characters from whatever film you happen to be playing. You can mix up all the characters from all four films, but it just doesn't make a lot of thematic sense. Although, having said that, the theme's there, but you don't stop to think about it too much. I think, and then you're flipping cards from what's called the Hive deck face down into your complex. Now, what's this mechanic called in Legendary?
That's where the villains are. So you've got heroes in your HQ and you've got villains that come out into the city and attack. You've got your mastermind. And interestingly enough, you can actually, because the recruiting and the attacking mechanism is exactly the same, and the little symbols at the top of the card, similar thing, you could have Captain America fighting the aliens with the people from Alien 2. You know, you could have the alien people fighting Doctor Doom.
But as the villains come out, with Marvel Legendary, they come out face up and you...
No hidden thing. They come out face up. They basically move across the city. If you don't attack them by the end of the city, by the time they get to that fifth city space, they basically escape and take a bystander with them.
Yeah, this hidden mechanic in the Hive is, I think, my favourite thing about Legendary, because that does simulate the scene with the motion tracker down the corridors where you know something's creeping towards you, but you got no idea what it is. Is it going to be good? Is it going to be bad? Mostly it's going to be bad.
Yep, and mostly very, very bad later on.
So once they come down out of this complex, which is maybe four or five spaces, they come into the combat zone, and then they start doing all kinds of damage and havoc on you. The Hive deck itself is built out of three goals, again, relating to each of the films, and again, you can mix those up if you want to. And this is another one of my favourite bits, because these are quite clever, the three different goals. There's lots of interesting different mechanics built into those.
There is, and what I really like about it is the events that correspond with those as well, so that when, rather than you flipping over an alien, when it's in the complex, you flip over an event and something really interesting and generally really terrible happens, like, you know, the airlock bursts or your soldier blows up or something like that. It's really, really bad.
Even how, when in the scenario that I played, the time that I played it, where you flip over an egg and it just sits there like it doesn't move, and you're going, oh shit, is it going to hatch or what?
Now, you've played quite a bit of Marvel Legendary, and do you need this? Because they are largely the same game.
Yeah, look, very, very similar.
The hint is in the title.
Yeah. I mean, the flavour is there, is different in both. But I wouldn't, and look, unless you were absolutely crazy about the mechanic and you thought that this was the best game ever made, no, I wouldn't be getting both, that's for sure.
Two big differences, though, that you've got the coordinate function on the cards here, which enables you to cooperate. I can lend some of my cards to you on your go to deal with whatever problem, you know, whatever aliens popped up. And that might be one of the other differences with this game, which is the face huggers, which of course, you know, they come on you. You've got to deal with it in your go, or maybe the next player's go. You've got a limited amount of time, and if not, that's it.
You are dead.
Well,
no, you put the alien into your discard pile.
You get a chest burster card into your deck, shuffle that in, and as soon as that comes up, instant death. But you then become an alien player.
Yeah.
So I've played this five or six times now. Hasn't happened once.
Oh, wow. No, I want to see it happen. I want to see that the alien cards come out and get used, because there's quite a large deck of them that are just sitting in that box waiting and collecting dust.
Is the thing, though, that because there is such that sort of imminent panic that you're so scared of that happening that you work so hard to stop that from happening, do you think?
Using that coordinate function. That's certainly been the way we've conquered it. And I don't want to suggest that this game is a complete cakewalk, although the game we played last night...
last night was a breeze, and this looked like it was going to be a really tricky scenario, but we were just cruising through until the very end, and even then, we all had plenty of life left in us.
And then other times we've been pummeled.
Yeah, and I mean, I talked about on here a while back, a similar similar experience with the Marvel heroes, because sometimes, you know, in fact, most of the time, I found it really easy. One time, just got absolutely the floor wiped with me, and don't know what, you know, caused that to happen apart from sheer randomness.
Mm. Yeah. I think, the third big difference with this one is the agenda cards. Mm. Garth, your take on those?
Yeah, well, look, I like it. I mean, the way it works is once you have a certain number of players, you take that many good agendas and then put one bad agenda into a small deck. Is that right, Trent?
Deal them out at random.
Yeah, deal them out at random, and then you spend the first potential third of the game not knowing whether you've got a traitor in your table at the group, and they're basically trying to let the aliens win.
Mm. Last night we had all good agendas mm-hmm. come out, and it certainly does make a difference when you're not fighting amongst yourselves.
Does it ever?
Look, what else is there to say? This game comes with a 17-plus age rating.
Yeah, I wrote that down as one of the big differences, because it's something that I've sort of been interested in a little while ago. Mm. I sort of picked this up, is age ratings on board games. There's not much of it that I can see. When you look at our video companions, it's all about the age, but it's for different reasons, you know. This one is all about the content on the cards and the violence there, as opposed, and I guess it's different in that a lot of our games, we set the ages because of the complexity of the game. This is a very simple game to pick up, but it's the theme that is giving it that 17-plus age rating, whereas for video games, it's all just about blood and guts, I guess, and that's what determines the age rating.
Yeah, and have you ever come across a board game that has that graphic blood and guts that this one does, where you'd need that sort of a rating? I mean, Dead of Winter is not really graphic, although the horror theme is certainly present.
And again, it puts the little marks on the cards for the hardcore, or for something a little bit more extreme. You can take it out for the younger players. But yeah, I it's not something that I've really noticed in our hobby so much.
Never seen it before, you know, like an age rating based on content, apart from some of those purely adult games like Cards Against Humanity or something where it's very adult content.
As you know, I usually ignore these things, given that I allowed my 7-year-old to beat me in Dead of Winter. Do we even like the artwork in this legendary game? It's cartoon art. It's not artwork for, it's not stills from the films.
Yeah, which is very surprising.
Isn't it?
And
I can only assume that would have cost money.
Yeah, well, and in the Marvel one, same again, it's cartoony artwork. Apparently it's not artwork used from comics, it's original, and graphic novels, it's original artwork, which, why would you bother when there's so much artwork out there?
It's got to be the money. Be the money. So, look, I enjoy this, but do I think it's a great game? No.
Yeah, and I'm the same, and I was reading through it again, and it says it takes 45 minutes, which...
It takes 45 minutes to set up!
What world?
Exactly, we were playing this for a good hour and a half, 2 hours last night, and then you had to have the setup and the teardown at the end, again, which adds a good half an hour, 40 minutes. Yeah. So this is not a short, dumb game.
And actually,
it's a long, dumb
game. Reminds me of my big gripe of this game is the bloody cardstock itself is flimsy.
Yes.
The box is a piece of crap, right? And there's so many cards in it, and I can only assume that it was printed on those big sheets that were then all cut up into the playing card sizes, because I have, it must be about 50 or 60 completely blank cards.
Oh, okay.
Blank cards.
Because of the big sheets, yeah.
All right, and...
But it's blank double-sided cards, so you can't even use them for anything.
They're not even in there as dividers.
I was going to say, are they dividers?
Dividers come with it because, of course, there's all these different decks in it that need splitting up. Mm. So you get those. They're actually handy and useful.
Yes.
No, there are just utterly blank cards
that
you know you're just paying for in terms of the weight that it costs to, you know, ship out that 50 grams from China through Singapore.
Yes.
Thank you very much, Upper Deck, for that one. So, look, not really a gamer's game. Certainly not a game that you could really strategize your way through. But it's a fun experience, and I enjoy it every time I play it.
Yeah,
I agree. I do think it looks all right for what it is.
Yeah, I love the big playing mat. I think that's fantastic, and it certainly helps with the setup. Yeah,
everybody loves a play mat. You roll that out, and it's like, oh, that's
right.
Awesome. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Well, I think Mark uses his Pathfinder one as a blanket at home. I think
I haven't used it yet. Actually, haven't had a chance to use it yet, but I can't wait.
I don't know what he uses.
I just think
for.
there's a lot of games that when you're investing about 2 hours of your time, there are better games to get to the table, but it is a lot of fun, especially if you've got the history of watching all the movies and growing up with them, which you know, we have.
Yeah.
And that is what we've been playing lately on The Dice Men Cometh.
Yes. Now, I wanted to ask you, Trent, because we've talked a little bit about Dungeon Lords, and you said this is a damn difficult game. Is that right?
We talked about that last week.
Yeah, now, I was lucky enough to play this game at the weekend.
Right.
Yeah, yes. And look, I must say I did my research in that I watched one little YouTube video, which is look, YouTube's pretty widely available, I must say. So, you know, I don't feel like we've got any special inside knowledge.
Dungeon Lords, this hideously difficult Vlada Khovatal game that requires the inbuilt tutorial and, you know, very, very, lots of different things going on in it. But a great game once you've played it 3 or 4 times.
Exactly. I don't know if it's that hard. I'm 2 for 2 at the moment. But anyway.
Yeah, so anyway, I got to play it. And I can't quite remember, but I'm pretty sure I came first and Daylight came second. Trent, where did you come on this whole thing? I think it was not quite last.
I'm not talking about
No?
Second!
Second. Wow.
Oh, second?
Again. Yes. By I would add a considerably larger margin than when I came second to you,
there
Mr.
You go.
Rickards.
Yeah. Right. So, look, I thought that was a great game. I do say thank you to Rado for the little video I watched, because it certainly helped with a little bit of strategy. But complicated? Yeah. Too tricky? I don't know.
Coming up next, we will talk to Terry and Merrin, some of the brains behind the board gaming library at CanCon, which is on the Australia Day long weekend in our nation's capital. That's coming up on The Dice Men Cometh.
You're with The Dice Men Cometh on Edge Radio 99.3 FM. That was Winter York with their game run. Sounds like they were talking about Trent's gameplay in Dungeon Lords. He's never going to get it right. However, I'm sure there's a copy of Dungeon Lords in the CanCon Board Gaming Library that you could try, Trent, if only you were going there.
Mm.
This week, earlier on, Trent did speak to Terry and Merrin, who are in charge of said library. Let's hear what they had to say.
CanCon coming up on the Australia Day long weekend, arguably Australia's largest, if not perhaps the finest, and certainly one of the longest running gaming conventions in the country. Two of the brains behind the event join us. They're old friends to the Dice Men Cometh, Merrin and Terry. Hello, how's Canberra?
Very wet, although drying out a little bit. Hopefully it's like that by CanCon in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, so CanCon coming up at, the Exhibition Centre. What's the preferred acronym for it?
EPIC.
That's
it's
right.
It's the Exhibition Park in Canberra.
I hope the Bogans from Summer Nats have left it in one piece for you.
They're generally pretty good.
All right, so let's just start with the basics. CanCon, it happens every year. How many years is this now?
Oh, my goodness.
That's an excellent question. I think a couple of years ago, was it the 50th anniversary or was it the 25th anniversary?
25th anniversary, I think. Because it used to be called the Toy and Game Expo.
Mm.
Only from a board game perspective.
Oh, from a board game perspective. And then that, for a bunch of reasons, the Toy and Game Expo moved to Sydney in the middle of the year.
Yep.
And they're actually one of the main sponsors of Bordercon. So, and we still work with them. They donate games to us every year. In fact, Charles has donated a bunch of games for us this year. The board game library itself, it's the third year we've run it. It's the fourth year that we've had sort of a real board game library.
Yeah, because this is games of all ilk, and I think CanCon, you know, it might have started more along the miniatures wargaming side, and that's still very much a large presence at the event, yeah?
The tabletop miniatures still fill an entire hall. We've sort of slowly growing. If you look at the board games and the board game-related vendors, we're probably starting to grow towards, you know, half a hall plus. We're sort of starting to push the seams of their available space at the moment.
And this is multiple sheds in EPIC, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. So two large sheds, and the piece that sort of connects in between the middle, that where you'll find all the magic players and the second-hand auction stall and
coffee shop.
Oh, very important. Yes. Getting back to the Australian Toy and Game Expo as well. Any perception that there's some kind of schism between these events with, you know, those guys going to Sydney with Charles, it's just not there. Everyone's getting along in all of this, working together.
Yeah.
I think there was some initial perception there just when it originally happened, but Charles and the guys from the Toy and Game Expo have gone out of their way to look after the gaming scene and sort of promote it and look after the other events. And and do the right thing, essentially. Like, they've helped us out. They've given us games. Yeah, nothing but goodwill for the Toy and Game Expo.
All the different, you know, there's obviously, you know, competition between the vendors, but in terms of their engagement with the board game library as well, it's all very much about growing the hobby and making sure in a position to support the people that come along. So there's been a lot of focus on how do we make sure we've got games in the library that people want to play. So that's been one of the key themes from both our major sponsors too, who've sort of said, well, you know, tell us what people want to play, and we'll make sure that you've got copies in the library. So getting that balance of, you know, the new Essen releases and the hotness and whatever, but also balancing out with some family favourites, and making sure we've got those in there. We've got families who come every year with little kids and just watching their families grow and they get further into gaming as the kids are older. We're starting to see that progression.
And how many people are you expecting? You know, what have numbers been like over the past couple of years? I know from memory the conversation we had last year was going up and up each year.
Yeah, so it's not a ticketed event, so they never get exact numbers. They usually have some people there on the doors during their initial rush and that sort of stuff. I think they usually talk between, you know, 5,000 and 6,000 sort of people. At the board game library last year, we had 550 unique visitors. Just from the board game side. It's certainly not a small event.
So let's talk about the library. From memory, it's a sort of white picket fence enclosure. Looks very suburban. You would be good with a bit of AstroTurf down there, I think.
It's all about style, mate.
Yes. You get yourself a ticket to get access to the library. How's that work again?
Two ways of entry. It's pretty much all in the day. So rock up and you can buy either a weekend ticket, so $25 will get you access for the entire weekend. So Saturday morning 8:30 through to midnight, same for Sunday, and then Monday from 8:30 to about 4. So $25 for a full weekend pass, and $10 a day if you want to come in and just do it on a daily basis.
And you mentioned the latest Essen releases. What are some of the titles that you've got from the current hotness, please?
We've got a significant list for this year. Some of the big ones, I think, that probably everyone has been talking about: Dead of Winter, Machi Koro, so that's been around for a little while.
Two titles that are hitting my table a lot at the moment. Machi Koro in particular, because it's such an easy thing to learn, particularly for those families that you mentioned.
I haven't actually had the chance to try Machi Koro yet. We're waiting for that to actually arrive.
Okay.
Splendor is probably another one that fits that same bill that, you know, you can play with pretty much everyone. Imperial Settlers, that's a new one from Ignacy Trezorik, I think. I can't pronounce names. But I think that's had a fair bit of buzz. Where Alchemists, the new CG release.
Ah, yes, definitely at the crunchier end of things.
Alchemists, Castles of Mad King Ludwig, Istanbul. We've got the expansion for Terra Mystica for people to give a go.
Oh, my God, because that game's not complicated enough already, yeah.
That's right. Yeah, let's add a few more rules. El Gocho. Cult Express.
Oh, yes, with that's the train game that I actually might want to play. Yeah, okay.
Onward to Venus and Mythopia from Martin Wallace. La Isla, another Stefan Feld game. Samurai Spirit by Anton Bowser of Seven Wonders fame.
Mm-hmm.
Geister.
Schatzuckmeister!
Camel Cup. Spiel des Jahres, Sheriff of Nottingham, Abyss, Lords of Xidit. We've got Legendary Encounters, Aliens, I hope. Steam Park, Kingdom Builder, Rise of Augustus, Planes, The Witcher Adventure Game, Evolution, and yeah, a few others. So so that's probably the list that we're going to have that'll join the games library, and then we're borrowing a few from PAX to fill in the gaps as well.
Yeah. Look, that's a great list. There's a few things there that are, you know, in my personal hotness at the moment. And of course, there's all the old favourites in the library as well. That sounds great, guys. Run us through the basics again. The dates and the opening times at Epic, please, for the CanCon Board Game Library.
Sure. Saturday 24th to Monday the 26th. Entry fees $25 for the weekend or $10 per day. Opens at 8:30 a.m. each morning, goes to midnight on the Saturday and Sunday until around 4 o'clock on the Monday afternoon.
I only made you do that because I was too lazy to actually do the research myself and get the details.
Sounds fair. I hope it's right.
Well, look, I'm amazed that you sound this organised, Terry, because a little bird tells me that you and Merrin have a more pressing engagement happening a little bit after CanCon.
Indeed, yeah. 28th of Feb, we're tying the knot. So
woohoo!
That's right, we're juggling. Which do we feel like organising each night? Do we wedding jobs or do we do gaming jobs?
Just surrender to the chaos, my friends.
Yeah, pretty much. It's going to be one of those years.
Yeah.
It's a good excuse to go to Essen, mate.
Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, for our honeymoon, yeah.
Oh, my God. So Essen in October next year is... that's fantastic.
Yeah, so the plan is we'll head over in September, do a couple of week tour of Eastern Europe and then go to Essen and come home.
Oh, awesome. All right, guys. All the best. Good to talk to you.
Thanks.
Cheers.
See ya.
There you go, guys.
Wow, that is hardcore.
Geek love writ large.
That's deep in love, isn't it?
Hey, Terry and Merrin, thanks, guys, again for your time. CanCon from the 24th to the 26th of January at Epic in Canberra. Check out www.cgs4canberragamesociety.asn.au for more details. Miniatures, magic, cosplay, painting, tournaments, D&D, and special guest, our mate, Peter Hawes.
Ooh, cool.
Yep, designer of...
Francis. Thank you. Triassic Terror. Royals.
Yep, he's going to be...
just come out from Essen last year.
He's going to be demoing Royals at CanCon. And also, artist Franz Vowinkel. No idea if I'm pronouncing that correctly. he's an artist who's worked with Wizards of the Coast on the Magic property. Also, Game of Thrones, the card game, Legends of the Five Rings. Blue Moon, Amon Re, and Starfarers of Catan, because, of course, Settlers of Catan had to go into space.
Of course it did.
So CanCon, good stuff. Any of us going?
No.
Sorry.
I did actually crunch the numbers, but, you know, when you live on an island below an island, the numbers start to add up. It was going to be cost me about $1,000 all up, flights and accommodation.
I have recruited a surprise guest, though, to do some recording on the floor for us, hopefully. Fingers crossed that comes off.
Excellent.
This is Edge Radio, 99.3 FM, with the Dice Men coming. That's a song called Run to Me by the SARS, and it brings us to the end of another episode of the Dice Men Cometh on Edge Radio 99.3 FM, episode 55, which marks 250 likes on our Facebook page, boys and girls.
Yay.
And we must send a shout out to Gerard Unmack, Gary Von Garymeister. Maybe.
Real name? Real name.
Bernhard Waltenspiel. I think that is his real name. Peter Ferguson, Joel Smith, and Nicole Di Maria, who's a big supporter of us. And
from the Mind Game story, and I think it's Market City.
Who raves about us all the time. Yeah. So that's one woman in a retail shop who does know about this podcast. Thank you for your support, and thank you for clicking like. You can do the same on Facebook. Just search for Dice Men Cometh.
Now, we're almost out of time, guys, but a couple quick things on Kickstarter. First of all, the Dice Tower, of course, gone absolutely berserk. It's almost 300% funded, almost up to 150 grand, and it means that Z Garcia, who's been very popular, is going to be working full-time for the Dice Tower.
Oh, my God.
One that's worth mentioning, Conan. Now, I know we've had a couple of Conan games, but this is a new Conan game. It's basically Descent : Conan. So it's Overlord versus players, and you get to actually play Conan and some of his companions. It looks really interesting. It's got something like 100 and lots and lots of minis, like 90 minis or something. It's really amazing. It does cost $90 plus shipping.
Unless it's got something really innovative, you know, with Imperial Assault out now as well. I think we've reached peak Descent.
Peak mini?
Yeah.
And I think what I noticed about that one, Mark, sorry, is that it doesn't tell you the shipping until the pledges have ended something like that, isn't it?
They gave an estimate of $30, which would mean you'd be up to $120 for the game. But, yeah, they were saying at the end, then they're going to work out what the shipping costs, which is interesting, compared to a lot of others at the moment who are giving
free shipping worldwide.
Mm.
Spirits of the Rice Paddy,
yes.
Which seemed to me to be a re-implementation maybe of a really old Euro game called Santiago, because it's all about the water. But it looks really interesting. It's really
what
nice.
The hell?
Spirits of the Rice Paddy.
Rice farming the game.
It's a Balinese rice farming game. So because it's Balinese, you've got the spirits involved as well, which just gives you like special abilities. You've got Queen Games again. What do they do on Kickstarter? Get off Kickstarter, Queen Games! They're re-releasing Wallenstein, which originally came out in 2002, was a really heavy Euro game with a dice tower where you throw, but you don't throw in dice, you throw in cubes, and some of the cubes fall out and some don't. So it's a bit of a randomizer.
Queen
but
Games, it, get your own pre-order
system. Yeah, it's
system.
quite a dry thing. And The Treasury, which I was really excited about this, but it's a bit underwhelming. It replaces paper money. So it's got card money. They've got denominations 1, 2, 5, 10, 20, 50. They've got pictures of animals, including dogs and foxes and things.
So hang on, is this money for use in any game?
Yeah, so basically the idea is it's to replace paper money in your favourite paper money game, which I was quite excited about, but it's... They're just cards with pictures of animals. Yeah, I thought they might be really good poker chips or something like that.
For those
that.
Of us who like to pimp out our games, those kinds of accessories are nice. It's like that Stronghold games box of, you know, all the resources, the clay and the stone and the jewels and everything.
Yeah. Look, I guess you're right to pimp out. The only other thing that struck me was Nano Arcade. I thought it was just like a little case to stick your phone in to play arcade games. It's actually a mini arcade game that is the size of your phone with a little joystick and everything. But it's a fully functional Java-based game console, the size of your phone. It's $49. Can you believe it? Really interesting.
And what's that Matt Dunstan thing that's going off at the moment as well?
Matt Dunstan thing?
No, the Tiny Epic Galaxies, is it?
Oh, no. That's not Matt Dunstan.
Oh, who is it?
That's Gameland Games, because they've done Tiny Epic Kingdoms and Tiny Epic Defenders, which are sort of
in that mini-game
world. Now they've got this Tiny Epic Galaxies. It's gone absolutely gangbusters. They were raising $15,000. They've overfunded like 1,400%. It's packed full of stuff. It's actually... so much stuff in the box, and it's only $16, including shipping. It's another one of these 30-minute sort of, not a micro game, but I guess a mini game. They've had a lot of success with these.
All right.
Fantastic. Well, thanks, Mark. Good to have you back, mate.
No worries.
It feels weird to have all three of us here. It's the first time it's happened in the new year, but look, we are the Dice Men Cometh on Edge Radio 99.3, and we are out of here.
Certainly hot in this studio with all three of us in here.
And no aircon.
And dare I say, a little bit sexy. Did I say that aloud? I did. All right.
Get me out of here.
Catch you next week.
I'm not a celebrity.
This has been an edit of the Dice Men Cometh from Edge Radio 99.3 FM, Hobart's independent youth station. Find us on Facebook and edgeradio.org.au.